Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top line of Daf Tzadi at the Mishnah. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Machloikis Tanoim, we'll see a Tanaic controversy, Mishum Eizes Sibo Yesh Lodom Legaresh Es Ishto. On what grounds is a person justified in divorcing his wife? Before we begin the actual Gemara, it's worth familiarizing ourselves with the pasuk that will be the focus of the Gemara. It's found in Dvarim, Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. We've included the Pasuk on the side of our marked Gemaras, and it reads as follows. Ki ikach ish isha vwala v'hoya im lo simtsochein be'enov ki motso bo ervas dovar v'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo v'shilcho mi beso. So the Pasuk describes a married couple, and he finds that he's not approving of his wife, and exactly why we're not going to commit ourselves at this point, but the Pasuk describes him. He writes a get, gives it to her, and sends her from his house. Pasuk Bey says, V'yotza mibeisa v'hoicha v'hoisu ishacher. She leaves his house and is then able to go and marry someone else. Now the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yigaresh Odom Es Ishto, Elo Imkein Motza Bo Devar Erva. A man is not to divorce his wife unless he discovers her behavior to be of an immoral nature. And we say immoral, that would mean engaging in forbidden intimacies. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Ki Motza Bo Ervas Dovar. The word Erva is a reference to, in the context of women, it's a reference to forbidden intimacies. So the Pasuk is saying that the married couple that was featured in the Pasuk, in Pasuk Aleph, is to be divorced when he discovers an element or an act of forbidden intimacy on her part. Beis Hillel says a man can divorce his wife even if she burns his food. And the commentaries, you find that the idea of her burning his food, if she does so with intent to irritate him, to infuriate him. Shenemar, the same pasuk is quoted, Ki motza bo ervas dovar. And according to Beis Hillel, the pasuk is saying whether he finds a matter of erva, like Beis Shammai said, a matter of immorality, or dovar, or some other problematic behavior on her part, like burning his food. Rabbi Kiva Oimer Afilu Motza Acheres Noa Himena, even if the husband discovers a woman that's more pleasing in his eyes, more beautiful, that is grounds for divorce. Shenemar, the pasuk that we read said, V'hoya im lo motza chein v'einov. Not only then if she burns his food, not only if he finds her behaving immorally, but even if he finds a more attractive woman. And that's what the pasuk essentially opens up with saying when it says, Ki kach ish isha v'ala, indicating a married couple, V'hoya im lo tzimtzochein be'enov. And it shall be if she doesn't find favor in his eyes. And that idea of not finding favor in his eyes, in context, Rabbi Kiva is saying, he finds some other woman more attractive. Before we continue with the Gemara, on the side we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads Machloikis Beishamai beisil eich lidroish haposuk ervas dofar. We already alluded to this in the Mishnah, now a source that presents their disagreement, how to approach the pasuk. Amru beisilo beishamai, falo kvar ne'amar dovar. Beisilo says to beishamai, does the pasuk not note some reason other than immorality as grounds for divorce? And it does so by using the word dovar. Omar Amru lohem beishamai. Beishamai responds, v'halo kvar ne'amar ervas. But the pasuk focuses on her immorality. Amru lohem beisilo. Im ne'amar ervas. Beisilo says why the pasuk has to speak of both things. If the pasuk had said ervas v'lo ne'amar dovar and not cited divorce on grounds of finding some other problem, only if there is an act of immorality on her part would she be divorced, but for no other reason. Therefore it was necessary for the pasuk to use the word dovar, indicating that divorce could be even on grounds of something other than immorality. Ve'ilu ne'amar dovar v'lo ne'amar ervas, and had the pasuk specified dovar and not cited ervas, ha'yisi oimer mishum dovar tinosi li'acher mishum ervalo tinosi li'acher. I would have thought that only if the divorce is on the grounds of dovar, some other qualm that he has with her, other than immorality, then she can marry someone else. But if the divorce was on the grounds of ervav, immorality, I would have thought lo tinosi lacher, and she can't marry someone else. Lekach ne'amar ervas. Therefore, the pasuk cited ervas along with dovar, and as you continue reading the psukim, as we did, you see that even the ervas problem is followed by the yotzami base of a hochvoy. So Ishachar's pasuk base says she can leave his house, she gets divorced and goes and marries someone else. So that not only if her offense, we'll say, was a relatively minor offense, but even if her offense was a serious offense like ervas, like immorality, that does not preclude the possibility of her marrying some other man. In this back and forth discussion, we saw how Beis Hillel justifies or uses, derives points from both words, ervas and dovar. U Beis Shammai hai dovar mai avdilei. What does Beis Shammai conclude or determine from the word dovar? After all, according to Beis Shammai, the only topic the pasuk refers to is divorce on the grounds of immorality. So wouldn't ervas be enough? Why does the pasuk write dovar? Nem answer, I need the word dovar for a gezeirah shavah, a word comparison. Nemar kan dovar, v'nemar lalon dovar. Namely, al pi shnei edim o al pi shloisha edim yokum dovar. The pasuk there describes that testimony, in order for it to establish truth, must be through two or three witnesses. Ma lahalon b'shneidim, just like over there, dovar is in the context of two witnesses. Af kan b'shneidim. So too, over here, with regard to the divorce on the grounds of immorality, it would have to be some type of clear testimony of her wayward behavior. Namely, two witnesses testify that she behaved immorally. Ubeis Hillel, mi ksiv erva badavar. Does the pasuk say that the divorce takes place only if you have two witnesses testifying about her immorality? Had it said erva badavar, that's what I would have concluded. But it doesn't say erva badavar. It says ervas dovar. Beis Shammai, their response to Beis Hillel, who were expansive in their possibilities of divorce, Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, Umiksiv o erva o dovar. Does the pasuk spell out two separate possibilities? Beis Hillel, what's their response? Lahachiksiv ervas dovar. The pasuk deliberately said ervas dovar, not erva ba dovar, like Beis Shammai claim, like Beis Shammai would have had you believe. The mashma hachi umashma hachi. When we say, by the way, that Beis Shammai would have had you believe, it's through the eyes of Beis Hillel for the pasuk to have reflected Beis Shammai's position. It would have had to say erva ba dovar, but it doesn't say that. It says ervas dovar, enabling me to darshan this way and that way. Namely, Rashi spells out all the things that you can, that Beis Hillel would derive from ervas dovar. Let's learn Rashi together. Rashi, we're looking at, is a couple lines up. We have a double star helping you to find it a little more quickly. Beis Hillel also acknowledges the necessity of two witnesses in the case of immorality, that in order for Beis Din, for the court to force a couple apart, you would have to have testimony of two witnesses, and then we would force them apart. Mihu lahachi ksiv ervas dovar. However, the pasuk writes ervas dovar v'lo kosiv v'lo ksiv ervo ba dovar v'lo ksiv nami o ervas o dovar. Nor does it say that as well, like Beis Shammai would have had you believe Beis Hillel should have had the pasuk. Why then does Beis Hillel, or what does then Beis Hillel derive from ervas dovar? He I can conclude the following several reasons, several outcomes. The mishtama erva odavar, by saying ervas dovar, I can say that the divorce can be on the grounds of either immorality or some other reason. Umashmarami erva badavar, and also conveys the idea that we will force a divorce only if you have two witnesses that can testify about her immorality. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu Motsa Acheres. Rabbi Akiva says even if he found a more pleasing woman, then he could divorce his own wife. Bemai Komifligi, what's the basis of this machlokis in the Mishnah? B'dereish Lakish. The basis is in accordance with Reish Lakish's teaching. D'yomar Reish Lakish, ki. The word ki that you find in the Torah, in our pasuk, by the way, we had ki motzo bo ervas dovar. That word ki mishamesh ba'arba lishoynes. It has four different possible meanings. E, and when you study the sugya and look at Rashi, the word e means like inami, means as well or also. Can mean Dilma, Ella, and Daha. We don't have to translate each one of these expressions for right now. Rashi, there's a lengthy Rashi that gives sources for each one of these different approaches, but we'll limit our discussion to two different uses of the word, or two different understandings of the word ki, as is manifest in this machlokes. Beis Shammai Savri. That's what we saw at the early part of Pasuk Aleph. And it says, and if she doesn't find favor in his eyes, ki motza ba ervas dovar. And the word ki means deha motza ba ervas dovar. In other words, the ervas dovar is a modifier or an illuminator of what lo simsochein ve'einov means. Hence the word ki is deha, because, as a result of. So the pasuk, according to Beis Shammai, means that she found the woman, the wife found, lacked finding favor in his eyes, because, deha, because motzo bo'ervas, he found in her immorality. Rabbi Kiva Savar, ki motzo bo ervas dovar, the word ki means inami motzo bo ervas dovar. So according to Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk is saying a man who's married, if he finds that she lacks favor in his eyes, in other words, he finds someone else more pleasing, ki motzo bo means, or if he found an act of immorality, either found a more pleasing woman, or found inamio, or ervas dovar as well as an additional reason for divorce. So as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, the pasuk that said im lo mod timtzachem ve'enov stands on its own. It doesn't need to be modified by the succeeding clause of ki motza boyer vazdovar. On the Beis Shammai, on the other hand, says that's exactly what the opening of the pasuk means. The lack of finding favor is as a result of ki motza boyer vazdovar. As we go on in the Gemara, you can see we've highlighted with a triangle, and on the side, Rava's name is highlighted with a triangle. The side of the Gemara, we have the Mivneh, the structural note, which points out Shtei She'elois Shinishal Rava Binyan Gerishin, two questions that are put to Rava regarding divorce. Omar Le Rav Papa Le Rava. Lo motzaba, lo erva, velo davar mahu. According to Beis Hillel, imagine a man divorces his wife, but not for reasons of immorality, not for reasons of her way of her burning his food, for some other reason. But it's not one of the reasons that Beis Hillel sanctions. Mahu means what is the law with regard to his being required to take her back. Since he divorced her, he divorced her unjustified, as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, does he have to take her back? Omar Leh, so Rava answers, Midagali Rachmona Gabi Oynes, from the fact that the Torah reveals to us in the context of Oynes. Oynes is the offense that we might refer to as rape. If a man rapes a woman, and I'm not getting into details concerning the woman's status, etc., but a man rapes, of course, an unmarried woman, the Torah says he has to marry her, and lo yuchal l'shalcho kol yomav, he is not allowed to send her away, he's not allowed to divorce her. And if he does divorce her, kol yomav ba'amoy v'hachzir koi, his entire life he is obligated to take her back. Hosam hu degoli rachmona. There the Torah reveals the requirement of taking her back. Because he's taking a divorced woman, a woman that he was not allowed to divorce. And he is required to remarry her, to take her back. Avol hacha, but in the question that you raised, that Rav Papa raised, my dovet of it. What he did. In other words, if he divorced her, true, not justified. What's done is done. He's not obligated to take her back. Only in the case of Ones does the Torah require his taking her back. Omer le Rav Misharshia le Rava. Im libo le garsha v'yosheves tachtov u'mishamoshtoi mahu. One has to imagine a couple where the man in his heart, in other words, he is planning to divorce his wife, but he doesn't let on to that. And he continues living with her with this mindset of his to divorce her. Is that punishable or not? Is that considered sinful? The Gemara answers, or Rava answers, Koriole, Rava referred to this kind of situation, referring to a husband like that, admonishing him, Al tachrosh al reyacho ra'a v'hu yoshev lo vetach itoch. The word tachrosh has to do with silence. Don't silently scheme evil against your friend. And in this case, the friend is your wife. While he is living with you in a sense of security, your friend, your wife, is dwelling with you with a sense of security, thinking that all is fine and good. So, in response to the question, is it something that's sinful? The answer is yes. Tanya. Before we go further, we do have some markings. You see a series marking the diamond is used. And on the side of the under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the diamond highlights Gimel Midos, three attributes, three qualities, Ba'anoshim, B'tyachsutam, L'Neshoseihem, with regard to their attitude toward their wives. You have three different styles amongst men with regard to their wives' behavior. That will become much clearer as we go through the examples. The Gemara, Tanya Hoyo, Rabbi Meir Omer. Kishem Shadeus B'maychol Kach Deus B'noshim. Just like there are different attitudes toward food, and that will become clearer in the examples we give, so too there are different attitudes men have toward their wives. Yesh lecha adam shezvuv noifel l'soich koisoi v'zorkoi v'einoi sheiseo. There are people that are so istinous oriented, they're so fastidious and sensitive that you could have a fly falling into their cup. They'll take a spoon and toss out the fly and not even drink the cup. That's an extreme approach. Vizuhi midas Papus ben Yehuda. This is an approach that Papus ben Yehuda used to take to his wife. Shohayanoyel bifnei ishto viyotse. He used to lock the door behind him when he walked out, leaving his wife locked in her house, meaning isolated without any contact with other people. Very extreme. As far as how to appreciate the analogy with the fly and the cup of wine or the cup of beverage and how this relates to the wife, so we recommend looking into the Marshall commentary for more on the topic. But for our purposes, we're describing someone who's very extreme, very intolerant. He will not tolerate his wife having contact with anybody. And that's certainly not praiseworthy. As Rashi says at the end of the page, he says, this kind of domestic relationship will simply lead to strife and shall end up in extramarital relations. There is other possible hints in the Rashi, which we won't get into now, but Rashi does point out that Papas ben Yehuda is the husband of Miriam Magdalonasha. That's a matter of research who Miriam Magdalonasha is, only by hint, but certainly we're not going to commit ourselves to the issue because of all kinds of historic questions, but note that Miriam Magdalonasha is some will associate her with a figure in history known as Mary Magdalene, and take note of the fact how Rashi concludes in here with making reference to Mizaneh Tachtov. Interesting, but we're not by any means committing ourselves to certain explanation of that on the historical level. V'hamevin yovin. The Gemara goes on. V'yesh l'cha adam shizvuv noifel l'soich koisoi v'zorka v'shoseu. There are other people. This, as you can see just from the structure, this is the middle ground. A person in whose cup there fell a fly would discard the fly and drink the cup. V'zuhi midas kol adam. That's the popular approach of people. And how does that reflect upon wives? She converses with her brothers, with her relatives, and the husband leaves her be. He feels that's a reasonable level of conduct in terms of his wife, and certainly not being locked and isolated, but on the other hand, not being left free and unattended and loose and immoral. However, v'yesh l'cha adam shezvuv nofil l'soich tamchui. There are those that the fly can fall into the tamchui. The tamchui essentially is a pot. We're not using a cup and a beverage analogy anymore, but the fly would fall into the food and motzitzo v'ochlo. And the person would eat the food while the fly is still in there, and eat like all around it. I don't think that we're suggesting that he's going to eat the fly. No one would do that. But he eats all the food around it while the fly is still in there. Zuhi midas odom ra. That is the way of a bad man. It's interesting that here we describe the person as being bad, whereas the unacceptable behavior of Pappas ben Yehuda, he wasn't described as being bad. Here is someone that's bad. Sheroya is ishto yoitza v'roisha paro v'toiva b'shuk. He sees his wife going out bareheaded, which is contrary to Jewish law. A married woman must have her own hair covered. Exactly what constitutes a covering, what's acceptable, what's not, is beyond the purview of our shiur. But the reference to the necessity and the obligation of a woman having her hair covered is the subject of discussion in Maseches Ksubas as well. So a man who sees his wife, she's a married woman, she's married to him, and he sees her going out bareheaded into public. This yotza means out into the public, into the public thoroughfare. That way, within the confines of one's house or backyard, there is no Gemara based requirement to have her hair covered. It might be a very good idea, proper modesty, etc. and so forth. But as far as strict letter of the law requirement within the walls of one's house, a woman does not have to have her hair covered. But here we're describing a woman going out into public with her hair exposed, bareheaded. The Toiva Bashuk, and he sees his wife weaving or spinning wool in public. We mentioned Maseches Ksubas. You can see these points discussed there in on Daf Ayin Beis. The Gemara continues on the top of Omid Beis. Ufruma Mishnei Tzdodeha. Here's a matter of clothing style. Rashi at the top says Ufruma Mishnei Tzdodeha Eitzah Atzila Deha. This is a woman whose dress at the point that's opposite her elbows, meaning along her sides, Eitzat Siladel Kederech Edomios Shebetzorfas Shebesoran Nira Mitzidan. The Rashi describes the Gentile women of France. This was their clothing style at the time. They had slits in the sides of their dresses, exposing their body flesh. So a Jewish man who allows his wife to wear clothing like that, v'roichetzes, skipping the brackets for a moment, v'mokoim shebenei odom rochatzin, and she bathes. Rashi says, but on the third line from the top, v'mokoim shebenei odom rochatzin, v'hi nichneses le'eneihem. She goes into, let's say, a swimming pool, visible to men, to other men. The Achar Yitzyosim, they're not in the pool anymore. In other words, we're not describing what we call mixed bathing. The men have exited already. Kishen Lov Shin Bigdam, they leave in order to get dressed. But she's there in the pool, visible to all around. And I saw in one of the other Meforshim, one of the other commentaries says, even if they're not actually around, but they can show up at any moment, and she wouldn't be aware of that ahead of time, and she bathes in a situation like that. So the source goes on to say, Zu mitzvah min haTorah legarsha. There the Torah expects you to divorce a woman like that. But we skip the bracketed section where it says, V'rochetzes im b'nei odom. A man whose wife is engaged in mixed bathing. She's bathing with other men. So the Gemara says, im b'nei odom salka daitoch. Is that what the intention of this source is to say? That's grounds for divorcing her anyway. Rashi says, "Raglaim adover shezoina he vasurolo." That creates a suspicion. Raglaim adover means that itself creates suspicion that she would have intimacy with those men. A woman who's willing, who goes mixed bathing, the same pool with other men, that would create a distinct suspicion of her being a zoina. A zona in this case would mean a woman that would have intimacy with other men, and on that ground alone she would be forbidden to him. But we're not describing a situation where there's an obligation to divorce her, let's say, on by letter of the law, but rather it's a type of proper Torah expectation of that Rabbi Meir is expressing here. So it's modified. Even if she's not bathing actually with other men, but b'mokom shebnei adam rochatzim, zu mitzvah min haTorah. The term mitzvah is in contrast to the word chiyuv. Chiyuv means obligated. Here, it would be the fulfillment of a Torah precept to divorce her. But it's just one rank lower, one rung lower than the case featured in the brackets of her bathing with other men. Bathing with other men, we might describe as being a chiyuv to divorce her. Here we're saying it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah being, as I said, a rung lower to divorce her. Shenemar ki motza ba ervas davar v'chule v'shilchom mibeis v'och v'os li'shacher. Let's hear the Gemara citing the psukim aleph and beis that we read before. Hakosuv koroi acher. What I'd like to do is I'd like to reread the Gemara from the third line. Zu mitzvah min haTorah legarsha, a woman who man who sees his wife going out bareheaded into the market, into the public thoroughfare, spinning wool in public, walking around with the clothing exposing her body flesh, bathing in pools that her bathing is visible to other men. A woman like that, it's a mitzvah in haTorah to divorce her. Ki motzo ba ervas v'chulei. That, all of that is the description of immoral behavior. The pasuk goes on to say, v'sholcha mi beiso v'holcha v'hoiso li shacher. And here we're darshaning what we saw before is the end of pasuk aleph and the beginning of pasuk beis. So you have a. The quotes here a little bit terse. Veshilcha mibeso is the end of pasuk aleph, and then it says at the beginning of pasuk beis v'yotzu mibeso v'holcha. So you have a couple words missing here, but that's okay. That's the style of the Gemara. V'holcha v'oisli shachir. So the first man sends her away, the man who found her to be immoral, and she goes v'oisli ishachir, marries a second man. Hakosuv koroi acher. It says after the first husband divorces, she goes and marries an acher. The word acher is a term that is we'll say offhanded in intonation or in connotation. It conveys the idea of the second fellow as being, let's say, a lower quality person than the first husband. Lomar she'ein ze ben zugo l'rishon. The fact that the pasuk refers to him, the second fellow, using the word acher, instead of saying v'olcho v'hoysel ish she'ini, but it says ish acher, it shows he's not ben zugo, he's not the equal of the first man. Ze hoitzi risha mibeso. The first man had the good sense to expel evil from his house, the woman who behaved immorally. The second man, he certainly heard the reasons for her divorce, and he took her in anyway. So he's taking in that which was evil. Zocha sheni, if the second man merits shilcha, he'll end up sending her away. Divorcing her. Shneamar posuk gimel there says usneo ho'ish ho'acharon. The second guy hates her and will send her away. V'im lav, and if he doesn't send her away, kov rosso, she'll end up burying him. After all, he took in evil, wickedness, If he merits it, as we said, he'll end up getting rid of her. If not, if he insists on keeping her, she'll end up burying him. Shenamar, the continuation of that pasuk says, O ki yomus, ho ish acharon. That ish acharon is a reference to that ish acher, the fellow that took in the woman that the first man divorced. And we say, kedai hu b'misa. It's fitting for him to suffer death. Shezeh hoitzi risha mibeso. The first guy got rid of wickedness from his house. Vezeh hichnis risha l'sof beso. The second man, he brought in wickedness to his house. Here the Gemara cites a pasuk in Malachi Perek Beis pasuk Tes Zayin. It's worthwhile being acquainted with the context of the pasuk. The Gemara itself, you can see in the next couple of lines, there's some more pasuk quotations taking place, and the next quotes are from Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet over there in Malachi. So we can point out ahead of time that the pasuk is discussing or making reference to a man who divorces his wife. We'll see later, and we get into the Gemara, his first wife, what's called Eishes Nu'recha, the wife of his youth, his first wife. And here in Pasuk Tes Zayin, as we mentioned, the context deals with the divorcing of one's wife, and it says in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Ki Sone Shalach. Two opinions as to what this means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Son Aso Shalach. If he hated her, so he sent her away. So the sone is a reference to the woman who was hated by him, by the husband. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, sonui hamishaleach. Hated is the one who sends her away. Now the first approach, Rabbi Yehuda said, im sona sa shalach, if he hated her, nothing to do necessarily with immorality or burning his food. Hence, it's pointed out that this im sona so shalach is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's approach. He didn't like her anymore. He found it someone more attractive, so he didn't like his own wife anymore. He sent her away. So that's ki sone shalach. The second approach, Rabbi Yochanan's approach, sonui meshaleach, hateful is the one that sent her away. It's reprehensible for a man to divorce his wife. V'lo pligi, there's no machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan. Ha bezivug rishon, ha bezivug sheni. Zivug rishon is a reference to one's first marriage, one's eshes neurim, which is actually the we mentioned before, that's the context of the pasuk, and that is what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to, sonui hamishaleach. What Rabbi Yehuda was referring to was not zivug rishon, but it was a zivug sheni. In the context of this Gemara, it would mean a marriage that wasn't the individual's first marriage. When it comes to a person's first wife, unless she did something that's clearly reason for forcing a divorce, a man should not divorce his wife. We made allusion to this earlier. There are cases where the Torah wants you to divorce her. But outside of that, if it's a matter of something that's elective, that's optional, don't divorce your first wife. The Omar Rebbe Lazar, Kol HaMagarish Ishta Rishana, one who divorces his first wife, the wife of his youth, if you will, Afilu Mizbeach Morid Olav Demos, even the temple altar sheds tears. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vezos sheinis tasu kasois dimo es mizbach Hashem b'chiv anoka me'enod penosel amincha v'lo kachas rutzon miyedchem." The pasuk describes tears covering the altar. V'amartem almo, and you'll ask why. Al ki Hashem heid beincho vein eishes nurecha she'ato bagadeta bo. The Almighty testifies concerning you and the wife of your youth that you mistreated her, and in the context of our Gemara, you sent her away, you divorced her, and she was your comrade, she was your friend, the wife of your covenant. In other words, your bond with her. There's a special bond that the Chazal recognized between a man and his first wife. And we emphasize again, this is all in the context where a man decides to divorce his wife because of some type of personal, optional reason. A man who sees his wife, even if she happens to be his first wife, but she's, as we saw before, she goes into a pool and bathes with other men, that's already a different story. That's a mitzvah to divorce her. As you can see, with the help of the Almighty, we have concluded Maseches Gittin. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.